I don't have a bitch rant.
Oh, shit. Yes, I wish you had told me that.
I forgot.
I'm sure we can figure out something to ramble about for a few minutes.
Oh, God.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
Shall we begin?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Welcome back to A Bitch and a Witch.
To start over.
Probably.
Take two.
Take two.
Welcome back to A Bitch and Witch.
I'm Chad.
I'm Sam.
This is our podcast where we
discuss things.
Discuss things, whatever comes up, usually. We try to prepare certain topics, but you know how that goes. It's 2023. All of our brains are mush at this point.
My brain has left the building.
Was it ever in the building?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to be very smart, Chad.
Well, we usually start off with a bitch rant, which is either a smaller topic that we want to talk about or just ranting about something in particular. Today, Sam found a lovely article that frankly sounded hilarious, so we went with that route. So, what did you find?
Title of the article that roped me in was, prosecutors say Illinois school worker embezzled $1.5 million in chicken wings.
I'm still trying to understand how embezzling works.
Well, let me explain to you.
Yeah, explain.
Embezzling via chicken wing. Let's see. It says, the former food service director of a South Suburban school district has been charged with stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings over a 19-month period.
That's not even 2 years. I'm trying to, like, figure out how many wings that is.
Let's see. Liddell was responsible for placing orders with Gordon Food Services, a main supplier for the district. She placed orders for the chicken wings from July 2020 to February 2022, billing the district but keeping the food. You know, it's rough out there.
Yeah.
An audit last year discovered that the district's food service department had exceeded its annual budget by $300,000.
Okay.
So, that's $300,000.
Yeah, because she was, what did it say, $1.6 million or something like that?
$1.5 million.
Yeah. So she was over budget, but not really by that much. Damn.
The business manager for the district uncovered the invoices for the chicken wings. Chicken wings are not an item that typically would be served to students because they contain bones.
Yeah, that tracks. Just like a dog. Can't really trust a child with a bone.
Yeah.
They'll choke on it.
That's basically all the article said.
All right, let's do the math here because I need to know how many wings this is. So was she selling them or was she eating them?
I have no idea. It doesn't say.
That's a lot of fucking wings.
It had to be more than wings.
Yeah.
It had to be more than just chicken wings. Had to be.
Especially if she was the one eating it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're going to get tired of that real quick. If she was selling it to other people, maybe. But I will say, it would take me a minute to remember what it was called. But they provided a certain thing to my school when I was growing up. That was, like, the best thing. And it was, like, what the hell was it called? Not quite a burrito, but, like, ground beef with taco seasoning wrapped in, like, a tortilla thing of some kind. And then they would serve it with, like, cheese sauce. What the hell were those called?
I have no idea.
They were so good, though, and we eventually figured out that Gordon Food is who provided it. So, ever since then, I've been, like, I'll like pass one on the road and be like, oh man, I should go and get some of those things. I've never done it, but one day I will. One day I'll also remember what the hell the name of the thing is.
I don't remember a lot of food from high school, but I also didn't really eat in high school.
Well, I don't remember chicken wings, so I think they're right about that.
Also, I spent most of my high school career down south, so our food was considerably different.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a 10-pound bag of jumbo chicken wings at Gordon's is $16.99 a bag. That's about 93,000 chicken wings, if I did my math correct.
God.
If you want to round up, it's about 94,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking chicken wings.
That's a lot of chicken wings.
There's no way she ate those all.
Not unless she has, like, a big family.
Still. I mean, how many wings do you eat in one meal? Like, 10?
I don't know. It depends on how hungry you are.
Yeah, it depends on if you have any sides and how hungry you are, but that's an extreme amount of wings.
That is. Like, she was probably selling them.
She had to have been.
Or giving them away.
Or giving them away, maybe, yeah. Damn, that's a lot of wings.
I'm not mad. I'm honestly, depending on what you're stealing and who you're stealing from, at this point, I'm not mad.
Yeah, I mean, some state governments just have, like, a huge surplus that they're not doing any with.
Hmm.
Indiana.
Some cough, state cough. Governments?
Yes, some state governments. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. Where was she from? Illinois?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I'm sure she had her reasons.
I mean, yeah. You don't just start stealing mass quantities of chicken wings for...
Especially not. It said that she had been working there for 10 years. So I don't know if that's...
Okay.
If she, like, suddenly started stealing. Because the article made it sound like she stole all of that within that 19-month span.
Within 19 months, yeah.
So, probably...
Probably they fucked her over.
School district, so they're not paying her enough money.
Oh, yeah, just I'm sure.
Nobody that works for the school district gets paid enough money.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
Except for maybe, like, directors and principals and shit. Yeah, maybe. You know, times are rough. Everything's expensive.
Everything is expensive.
Something like 63% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck now.
That's fucked. The fucking government won't do shit. Until it's too late, probably. If they do anything.
Yeah. Anything new with you, Chad?
What is new with me? Okay, so we went to visit a friend in Ohio a few weeks ago for her birthday. And you basically take 70, like, the whole way there. So if you're going towards Ohio on 70, like an hour away from us, is like a huge candle outlet store. Did I tell you about this already?
Uh-uh.
It was awesome. So we, like, drove past it on the way, and we were like, oh, that looks cool. And then on the way back, we were like, should we go to this candle place? And if you ask either of us that question, we're probably going to say yes. So we ended up stopping there. The outside of the building is, like, shaped like a candle, or at least part of it is.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. It's, like, warm glow candle outlet or something like that. But, yeah, they're super cool. We got a bunch of them, and they smell very nice. I was worried that, like, they would burn too quickly or, you know, something like that. Just be kind of like a novelty candle. But so far, they seem to be doing pretty good. They recommend this. I just realized this is extremely boring. So, I should probably stop talking about candles, but I'm going to keep going because it's too late now. But they recommend, like, only burning it for 2 hours at a time and that type of stuff. So I did that. I burnt it. I burnt one of them for, like, 2 hours. It's friendship bread scented. Smells incredible.
Mm.
But the nice thing, the reason I say that, like, a couple days after I burnt it, you could still smell it in that room. So it does seem like they're pretty good quality. Yeah, so that's the most exciting thing that's happened to me recently. Bought a bunch of candles. I would like for it to not be winter anymore.
Yeah.
I would like to also peel all my skin off and grow a new one.
I would just like for the sun to stop going down at 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that is surely contributing to a lot of depression.
For one reason, I don't like driving at night, and I don't like going places by myself at night.
Okay, that's fair.
So, it gets dark really early.
Yeah.
Also, my husband has turned me back into a nocturnal creature, and I'm kind of salty about it.
Yeah, I don't really see you as a morning person, though.
I like to be up around, like, 7 or 8.
Ugh. 9 is kind of like my... If I have no responsibilities or anything, 9 is kind of like my cutoff. I usually wake up and can't go back to sleep.
It's not that I'm not a morning person. I had to explain this to my friend the other day. I'm not a wake-up person.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what time of day you're waking me up. I'm gonna be an asshole about it.
Yeah, that actually tracks.
But I do like mornings. I like to have a nice calm morning. I like to make myself coffee and just like hang out and chill. Especially if it's nice outside, I like to hang out and chill with the dogs.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Earlier than 8 is definitely not good for me. But I can do it if I have to, like for work or whatever. You know, I've kind of lost the ability to like sleep in anymore the older I get.
Apparently it happens to some people.
I mean,
I can't relate.
Really old people like wake up at like 6 or something, 5 or 6. So I'm sure that'll happen to me one of these days too.
Sleep schedule.
Yeah.
Who is she? I don't know her.
You don't abide to any schedule, to be fair.
My body is immune to clocks. It just kind of does what it wants.
Yeah.
Like, I slept for 12 fucking hours last night, and I could still sleep.
I mean,
I am suffering from moon sickness right now, so just anything that I have to do feels like it takes all of the effort inside of my body.
Yeah, I do not envy you.
I don't know if anybody else who has a uterus and suffers from my affliction ever feels that way, but like, ugh. I just want to die.
It seems logical.
It's, yeah.
Your body is like shedding layers of itself.
Yeah.
That's gotta be rough.
It's not great.
No, I mean, doesn't sound great.
I just want to curl up in a ball and go back to sleep. I just don't want to get out of bed ever. Yeah. I just want to hibernate for a week like a bear.
I don't know if it's winter. I mean, it's probably winter. But I've been having a hard time getting out of bed lately, too. Like, it's so warm in there. Like, I get out of the bed, then it's really cold, and then I have to do stuff. I would rather just go back to sleep.
It's definitely because it's winter.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. But what can you do? At least we're getting closer to spring.
It's getting here.
Hopefully. You never really know these days. It could kind of just do whatever it wants outside.
I mean, fuck. At the beginning of January, it was 70 degrees outside.
Right.
In Indiana.
January was, like, weirdly warm.
Yeah.
And, I mean, more so December. December was pretty warm last year.
We don't really have much of a winter anymore.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Usually not.
Like, it used to get cold, and we would get snow.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, feet.
It was, like, 12 degrees the other day, and that's the coldest it's been for a long while there.
Which is fucking unusual in January, because the highs are usually in, like, the low teens.
Yeah.
Negative temperatures.
Right. Well, planet's melting.
Uh-huh. Sure is.
What can you do?
We seem to be where it wants to get warm, so.
Yeah.
Yay, Indiana. Another reason to hate it here.
Yeah. As if we needed another. I've probably mentioned this before on the podcast, but I went through a period when I was a teenager where, like, food was making me sick. And, yeah, I was really pale. Like, I was probably even more pale back in those days. And never went outside or anything, so I was like, I think I'm turning into a vampire. So maybe it's just a cycle with me. Maybe every, like, 15 years I go through a vampiric stage.
I don't know, that sounds like an underlying health condition.
Just well, throw that out there. Yeah, I'm trying to have fun with my conditions, not go get tweeted.
As a chronically ill bitch, it sounds like a chronic illness to me.
I mean, I'm sure there's something wrong with me. I'll figure it out eventually.
Will you?
Maybe. I actually have been thinking about going to a dermatologist. I just haven't done it. This might be my year.
Maybe you should.
I mean, I definitely should.
Maybe you should go to the doctor, Chad.
I don't know about the doctor.
I think you should go to the doctor.
I mean, probably, but I don't want to. I also need to go to the dentist. I'm not looking forward to that.
Nobody looks forward to the dentist.
My teeth are jacked up.
Mine too. But I've always been a poor, and good teeth are a luxury, so.
Yeah, they are. There's this post going around. They're like, a root canal is like $2,200 in America, or something like that. They were like, I could buy a plane ticket to, I don't have the post in front of me, so I can't remember which country, but it was like, maybe Spain or something like that. They were like, I could buy a round trip plane ticket to Spain, get the work done for like a couple hundred dollars, pay for lodging, and then fly back, and it would be cheaper than doing it in America.
That sounds about right.
That's not good. How are people supposed to get any health care in America? Yeah, you're not. You're kind of just supposed to burn through and get replaced by the next person in line, I guess.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to work yourself to death, and then once you finally die, they just kind of like kick you over and replace you with another warm body.
Yeah. Speaking of, I guess we could go on to our main topic.
Speaking of this toxic relationship we have with our country.
Yep.
Let's talk about something else that's toxic.
So, and yeah, pretty much, yeah, just men in general. So we've done a couple episodes on toxic things, but we decided to talk about toxic masculinity and things relating to it. So I found a fairly basic article on Healthline, which kind of goes over the concept and gives some examples. But it's often, toxic masculinity is often used as a catch-all term for behaviors of men and masculine folks. Blah, blah, blah. Generally, toxic masculinity is an adherence to the limiting and potentially dangerous societal standards set for men and masculine-identifying people. And common traits, mental and physical toughness, aggression, stoicism, or not displaying emotion, heterosexism or discrimination against people who aren't heterosexual, self-sufficiency, and emotional insensitivity. And then it goes into examples of, like, people saying, no homo, or, like, you know. You're laughing, but it's true.
I know.
I used it's to be just one of those people.
Oh, God. I just,
where you kind of get the
feel, had a flashback to 2006.
Yeah, right?
Where when everybody said no homo for fucking everything.
For everything.
Why?
Well, it's kind of like the thing of you're afraid to show emotions, or you're afraid to show that you care for your friends. Mm-hmm. So you have to say no homo to cover yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously just a very ridiculous concept.
Because heavens forbid that a man show any emotion or affection towards another man in their life. A friend, a family member, whatever.
Yeah. If you do that, you're probably gay.
You are.
Just gotta say no homo to cover your bases there.
I fucking guess.
I'm a guy, what do you expect? Or, as I've heard more commonly, boys will be boys. But why though?
It's just a stupid fucking phrase to...
It's just a cop-out.
So to rationalize shitty behavior by men.
Yeah. So you can act however you want and then just say boys will be boys? Like, that's not how that works.
Oh, one of your classmates keeps grabbing your bra strap and snapping it. Well, you know, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
It was not easy having boobs in high school. Let me just...
I...
Can, or middle school.
I could definitely see that.
Because I was a C cup by the end of fifth fucking grade.
Mm.
So I've had to deal with people throwing shit down my shirt.
Yep.
People grabbing my boobs. People fucking with my bra straps.
Yeah.
God forbid I wear anything other than a t-shirt or a fucking turtleneck.
Right.
I mean, I practically have cleavage in a t-shirt anyway, but... Christ.
Yeah.
But you know, boys will be boys. Make sure you're covering yourself up. You're going to distract the bullies.
Yeah, how about the boys should be accountable for their actions?
How about if you can't keep your hands to yourself, you snatch your fucking eyes out of your head?
Yeah. Remember when the...
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yeah, he did say that, actually. Nobody wants to talk about that, though.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
They want to just blame women and move on. Have you heard about this deepfake stuff going on?
No.
This is kind of semi-related. So they've kind of made, like, AI at this point that can deepfake porn of people. And it's blowing up because these Twitch streamers... So, I don't know. I guess they're friends or something. I don't know the full... I don't watch Twitch streamers, so I don't know who these people are outside of, like, seeing their name pop up sometimes. But one of them, like, apparently paid. So, like, this stuff isn't free. It's, like, at the point where it's pretty new, so you have to, like, go to a website and specifically pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this guy went and paid for deepfake porn of this streamer friend of his. And then he was doing a stream and apparently forgot that that tab was open. So he got caught and also exposed that content to people. And so now that's blowing up. And all these female streamers are like, what the fuck? It's pretty interesting. And like a not great way, obviously, but it's kind of forcing all these topics about like, we are not ready for this technology. Which makes sense. Like we can't even we can't even handle our culture like in a physical sense. So when you start getting into like AI technology and like revenge porn and things like that, like it's a very unwieldy monster, and you know, we cannot keep control of it. So it's kind of opening this can of worms where, you know, these ladies feel violated, as they should, even though it's not actually them. Like, you can't really tell that. So people are like, oh, it's only a matter of time. Like, this situation is bad enough, but it's only a matter of time before people start, like, deepfaking politicians saying all sorts of stuff. And it literally anything, any public figure, you could be watching videos and not know if it's real. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Really bizarre.
Absolutely not. We don't need that.
No. And, you know, typical online drama bullshit. He made this apology and his wife was in the background crying. And it's just like, oh my God. Dude, you don't mean a word of that.
No.
You knew what you were doing. You chose to do it. You're only being held accountable because you got caught. And it's also creating an issue where now that all these random internet dumbasses know about those sites, they're like paying for that content and then DMing it to these ladies, which is like, as you can imagine, not a great experience. Mm-hmm. Seeing a bunch of messages of fake porn of yourself, or real porn for that matter, if like there was a leak or something like that. So yeah, it's this whole big thing that's blowing up right now. God, I love men on the internet. They're not great on the internet or in real life, but yeah.
Why are men?
I cannot answer that for you. Sorry.
Like, why is that necessary?
It's not like do what you're gonna do in your own time, but like
men are so stupid about sex.
Yeah. It's almost like repressing our sexuality for the entire history of our nation was not a great idea.
Obviously. Like, what goes through your mind to makes you think it's okay to like make fake porn about somebody? Or to film somebody without their fucking consent.
Right? Like, it's such a low bar to clear, and we apparently can't do that.
No. A lot of it is just, you know, repression and then also thinking they have the right.
Yeah. Treating women as objects.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the...
Like they're owed sex. You are not owed sex from anybody for anything, right? Ever at any point in your life. That's relationship.
What's frustrating about it too. It's like there's all these people who are glad to show you their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Like very happy to do so. Why you gotta go and like bring people into it who don't want it to be out there, or like make fake stuff where they're now into this? Like, just stop. Like, come on. Within a minute, you can find whatever you want online. Most of it consensual. It's like, why are you not just doing that? Like, it's just really not hard.
It's not.
These people are lunatics. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like, stoicism, or like pretending you can't have any emotion, or not pretending, but thinking you can't have any emotions because it's, I don't know. I would say, from my perspective of going through some of this stuff when I was younger, the perception is definitely that you will be like too feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you can't have any feminine qualities. You gotta be super masculine all the time in every way. And emotion is like a big part of that for some reason. So if you're a man, you can only be angry, violent, loud, competitive, you know, anything like that. If you're caring or soft-spoken or, I don't know, any number of normal emotions that people have, mm-hmm. sad. If you're any of those things, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. I gotta buck up.
Yeah.
Be a man. It's just so stupid.
It really is.
The perception of being a man and the way toxic masculinity just takes over anything. Because you can't be perceived as too feminine. You can't be perceived as gay, which is a... I think most of that still comes from just, like, how homophobic and anti-gay... I mean, our country still kind of is, but...
Right.
Now it's a more accepting thing.
But we're still far from where we need to be.
Yeah, and more people are, like... speaking out and talking about how it's okay to be a man and have emotions.
Right.
Because it is.
Because it is, obviously.
And it's okay to talk about your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
What's not fucking okay is beating people up all the time for no reason.
Right.
Or being super controlling towards people, mostly women, in your lives.
Women, yeah.
But that was allowed to become the norm in a very toxic, masculine society.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I didn't really make any attempt to, like, trace this back and figure out where everything kind of went wrong, but just off the top of my head, my assumption is probably that, like, around the time of World War I and World War II, where we had all these huge issues going on, where people literally had to go, like, fight and die for it, like, I kind of feel like that's where a lot of it started, and then you had to be tough to survive, because war is hell. Obviously.
Well, it also wouldn't surprise me if this became even more of an issue in the early 1900s because we had, you know, women's suffrage and, I don't know, just like the fucking 60s in general.
Yeah.
Where women were trying to get equal rights as men.
Right.
So I'm sure toxic masculinity is used as a tool to keep women in their place.
Yeah. It's like a cultural backlash to... people fighting for rights, which always seems to happen.
Because you had women's suffrage, women were trying to get the right to vote, and then mainly after World War II, because so many of the men were away fighting and they needed women to go to work.
Yeah, that's when they started.
That's when it really started to, like, snowball, because women are like...
Oh, if I can work for myself and make my own money.
I don't need
no man. Like, oh, I can do something with my life other than have kids and raise them and take care of the house and take care of my baby man-child husband.
Yeah.
Wow, let's go do that.
You mean I don't have to spend my life in service to other people if I don't want to?
Right.
Whoa.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
And that was a... thing about gender roles that I read. I had like two articles that I read. One was from Psychology Today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was from WebMD. And one of the things that is a sign of toxic masculinity is to refusing to help with household tasks or just in general having very gendered household roles.
Yeah.
You know, women do the cooking and cleaning and the child raising and
right.
Men go to work and maybe mow the fucking lawn and do the man tasks, get the oil changed and take care of the car or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really no reason for that stuff, like, especially in modern times. But, I mean, I'm bisexual and I am in touch with a lot of my feminine qualities and stuff like that, but I've never been good at yard work. I've never been, like, a mechanically handy type of person. Like, just because I'm a male doesn't mean I'm automatically good at any of that stuff.
I can do it, I just choose not to. I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either, actually. I'm not good at it, and it's I'm allergic to a bunch of shit outside. So if I cut the grass, it's just a not great time for me. And, you know... that's sort of the point of getting a partner, is because you guys both do things to help out in the relationship and around the house. And
my thing with the house is I don't give a shit if you have a stay-at-home spouse. Regardless of whether or not you have kids, you know, what they're a stay-at-home parent or just a stay-at-home spouse, or maybe they work from home.
Uh-huh.
You fucking live there too.
Right.
If you can make a mess, you can clean a fucking mess.
Yeah, there's always more than one person involved in making the messes. And
there is literally no excuse for you not to help out around the house. And if you're like, well, I work all day and I'm tired.
Everybody's tired.
Everybody's tired. Your partner is tired of picking up after you.
Yeah, still shit that needs to be done.
Just because you have somebody at home that picks up after you does not mean you can be a fucking slob.
Right.
There's literally no excuse. Just clean up after yourself. Quit being a fucking child. And if your partner is a fucking stay-at-home parent...
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work.
Being a parent in and of itself is like 2 full-time fucking jobs, I swear to God.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, but from what I've witnessed, it's a lot.
Yeah, same.
Especially if your kid's like not in school or preschool or daycare, which is exorbitantly fucking expensive.
Right. Yeah, if you're dealing with them 24/7, like keeping another human being alive, especially a human being that doesn't talk or like can't really take care of themselves, like that's never-ending mountain of bullshit that you have to constantly do.
And then to expect your significant other to deal with that all day long and then come home to a fucking spotless house and a hot meal on the table.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
While you do nothing but come home, eat, take a shower, and go to bed. Absolutely fucking not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fucking not. You are trash and you need to go take yourself out.
I agree. Physical toughness, that's like another thing. Like, why...
Physical touch, toughness, and violence.
Right. Like, why? Why do you have to be like that?
I'm a big, tough man. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Violence is not the answer, usually.
Not always. Sometimes.
There's some exceptions, but, like, violence usually just makes things worse. And being physically tough means absolutely nothing. Like, we're in the digital age, guys. Like... You don't have to be strong to be successful. It's not correlated.
We live in America. Being physically tough doesn't mean shit.
No.
If they're packing a Glock.
Right.
I mean, fucking everybody has guns, practically.
Yeah. I don't, but you kind of feel like you have to at this point.
I don't, but I'm not against it. I feel like it would be a bad idea. The people in my house are way too fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure Dustin doesn't want us to have a gun in the house. Mm. I'm not really a gun person, but he's less of a gun person than I am.
Yeah.
I understand the need.
Right. I understand the need. I don't understand the worship.
Me neither. You know, they're just preparing for the day when they have to save America from our tyrannical military that... has better weapons than they do.
It's okay. They'll fight them off with their little AK-47 that they bought from them wherever.
They had their chance to stand up against tyranny and they fucking didn't. They joined, so...
Yeah, that's
maybe kinda... you should just give your guns back.
Maybe you're not actually gonna do anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Going back to toxic masculinity and violence, I had some fun little statistics.
Oh, good.
It says, while toxic masculinity is harmful to men as a whole, one of the ways that it affects society is that it encourages and leads to violence. Mm-hmm. A lot of this aggression and violence happens, they say, when men feel they have failed to live up to society's expectations.
Okay.
So I guess when they're not manly enough.
Not manly enough.
So a lot of times it's... to assert their dominance and masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And whom do you suppose gets the brunt of that violence and masculinity?
Their female partners.
1,604 of the 1,801 female homicides, which is 89%.
Jesus.
Were killed by a man they knew.
That tracks.
Over 2,000 of the homicides involved a single female victim and a male perpetrator.
Mm.
60% of victims who knew their murderer were intimate partners or ex-partners, which tracks.
Yeah.
61% of victims were killed with a gun, and they were most often killed during an argument. That was from a 2020 article.
Okay.
And I am sure with all of the stresses that the 2020s have put people under, numbers are probably larger.
Yeah, probably just worse now.
Something that is making toxic masculinity worse is the fucking internet. And yeah. All of these incels,
yeah,
with their YouTubes and their podcasts, fucking degrading women and shit.
Yeah. It's crazy how famous some of those people are.
It really is.
Just like how much the algorithms are pushing them. Like, yikes. Maybe somebody should do something about that.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so much easier for people. I mean, we kind of talked about this in our parasocial relationship episode.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's day and age, not only can you find piece of shit men
mm-hmm.
who tell you all of these terrible things about women and how you should treat them and how they should submit to you, it's also very easy for people to find victims.
Right. You ever think there's just too many people?
Every time I go to the store.
Fair. It's like, just completely unrelated to what we're talking about, but driving into work, I'm like, man, there really did not used to be this many people on the highway. Just like at all hours of the day now. There's just too many people. Getting a little bit unsustainable, if you ask me.
Anyway, if you've already grown up with certain risk factors, you're going to be more likely to have toxic masculinity. You know, like a dysfunctional family environment or being raised around toxic men with toxic masculinity, you know.
You're telling me toxic people don't raise well-adjusted children?
Not normally.
Huh.
Lack of mental health services.
Ooh, yeah.
Because men don't go to therapy.
Can't talk about their feelings. Yeah. Or else they have to admit that they have feelings.
Exactly.
Damn liberals almost got us. We figured it out, though.
Go to therapy. I'm fucking begging you to go to therapy.
You know, there's also, like, so many different kinds and so many different practice. Like, I know it's not cheap, so that's kind of, like, a bummer. But it's so much more accessible now than it ever really has been.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, like, if you try one out and it's not helping you, you have choices. You have options. You can go try a different kind or a different practitioner.
I really don't think that people understand that you can fire your doctor.
Right.
This goes for any doctor.
Yeah, you don't have to just keep going back to the same one if it's not beneficial for you.
If you don't like them, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
find a new doctor.
Go do a different one.
And the same goes for therapy.
Yeah.
Shop for therapists.
Right.
Maybe a different kind of therapy will work for you.
I think they say if you haven't really made a connection within 3 visits, that's where you kind of need to try again with somebody else. If your therapist can't do anything beneficial for you or make any kind of connection to you within that time frame, then yeah, they're probably not the right one. So taking the first step is always the hardest part, but yeah, don't be afraid to switch doctors, switch types of therapy. But in general, we all need therapy.
Yeah. The vast majority of us.
We all need it, Sam.
Can benefit from therapy.
Yeah.
Even if you're not crazy.
Yeah, it's not about being crazy. It's about learning the right way to handle, you know, stress and emotions and getting a unaffiliated third party to talk through things with. Like, who couldn't use that? Everybody can use that.
I don't enjoy talking about my feelings. Toxic masculinity doesn't just affect men.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, we're not just shitting on men today.
Yeah, that's fair.
Toxic masculinity can touch women in other ways. I also don't know how to express my feelings.
Yeah.
I feel very uncomfortable when men around me cry. Mm. I don't know how to handle emotions, especially from men.
Yeah. Therapist could help you with that.
I know they could.
This year, we're getting our shit together.
Okay.
I'll drag you along if I have to.
You can drag me along. It's fine. I am so beat down by 2022 that I'm just not making plans.
Yeah. I get that.
I literally just live day by day.
Yeah. If that's what it takes.
And I really don't know if we've gotten to the point of this episode.
The point is, toxic masculinity sucks and is an outdated way of living.
Yeah, what Chad said.
I've got a couple examples from media that are, if you will, a better role model to base your actions off of.
Okay.
because I thought that might be interesting. Non-toxic men in media.
Okay.
Here's a lesson for y'all. First one I was going to talk about is Wayman from Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you've not seen that movie, I would highly recommend it. It's almost like a therapy session as a whole, but it's about, it's hard to explain. But the reasons I'm talking about, it's like a family who sort of come to a head because of the events of the movie and they have to like figure their shit out.
Okay.
But it's also like a multiverse movie. So there's the main character goes through these different versions of the universe where she runs into her husband, but they're not married in this universe. And he kind of explains like, oh, it's hard to explain this without explaining the whole plot. But the point of it is that he, in the main universe, he's like extremely nice, very kind to everybody. He is always laughing and having fun and joking. And he puts like these googly eyes on everything. Like they run a laundromat and he like puts googly eyes on people's clothes and stuff. And the wife, who's the main character, she's always like, what are you doing? Like, get back to, like, you got to focus on stuff. Quit putting googly eyes on everything. And, you know, why aren't you taking this seriously? And stuff like that. And, you know, it causes all this friction. And she's very, like, serious and focused on all this other stuff. And she meets a different version of him in a different universe. And he's like, in that universe, they never got married. He went on and he's like I can't remember what he is. It doesn't really matter that much. But she's like a famous actor. And he's like, he works these huge events. I can't remember his exact profession. But they meet up after one of her movie premieres and they're talking. And she like goes to kiss him in the moment. And he's like, don't do that unless you mean it. And he was like, you know, you've played with my emotions. And I know you think I'm a weak person. But he was like, my actions are different. He's like, I fight in a different way. I'm fighting, but I'm using kindness to do it. And basically, you know, gives this speech about that kind of recontextualizes the Wayman from the main universe for her. And she's like, oh, you know, he's doing all these things to try to break through my cold interior, you know, this barrier that I put up. So if you've seen that movie, you'll kind of have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. But he is an awesome character. Gives people kind of a different way to stand up for themselves and to try to like help those around them by focusing on kindness and basically love. And one of his quotes from the movie is basically like, we're all scared, none of us know what's going on, just be kind. So I really connected to him. Very awesome movie. And then I did manage to remember my other example, which is Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. I saw this big post about it like a few weeks ago. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's true. They were like, you know, typical male leads in a story like that would be this big badass and go and kill everybody and, you know, whatever. They're so tough and all this other stuff. But it's like Aragorn is like very caring and loving for all of his friends in the Fellowship and his elven friends. And, you know, he's very in touch with his emotions, but he's still a very powerful leader. But he's not afraid to, like, cry. He's not afraid to show affection for people. And, you know, it kind of went over all these examples about that. I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So he's very much like an anti-toxic masculinity figurehead. And, you know, he's got all these times where he could leave the humans behind and he can go with the elves and live forever and never feel pain and all this stuff. And he's like, no, I will die with them if that's what it takes, you know? So he kind of stands up in a different way as well. That's not toxic and kind of just is a good example of somebody who, you know, you don't have to be an asshole to like stand up for yourself or stand up for your loved ones. And in general, it's okay to have emotions and that doesn't make you weak. And so that's kind of a really good point of his character.
I feel like you could tie a lot of Lord of the Rings characters into that, though.
Yeah.
Because most of the male characters are not overly masculine.
Right.
They do have, like, feelings and emotions. Especially when you think about, like, Sam and Frodo's relationship.
Some definitely some gay vibes there.
For sure. But I mean, like, just Sam in general.
In general is, like, the best person.
He is... Everybody needs a Samwise yeah. in their life.
Absolutely.
But even, like, Merry and Pippin.
Right.
They're in touch with their emotions.
Oh, for sure. Probably because they get blasted on weed all day, every day.
Fucking probably. Because they are always drinking and getting high.
Getting high will lower your inhibitions and introduce you to whole new parts of yourself.
Getting high and stealing from different farmers in the Shire because they got the munchies.
Right. Yeah. You're right, though. Pretty much any character in Lord of the Rings is, well, any of the good guys. The bad guys, obviously, are all fucked yeah. up.
You could even probably apply that to, like, Faramir. Possibly yeah. Boromir.
Yeah, they
he's
both...
He's a little bit... Boromir kind of toes the line.
But he does redeem himself.
He does.
I think the point of Boromir is, like...
Anybody can be corrupted.
Anybody. He's human. The whole point of the ring is that it's so strong that it corrupts everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
And that's why Samwise is such a good character. That's why
it's Boromir... kind of a absolute power corrupts absolutely yeah. kind of situation.
Exactly. And in the end, he did manage to resist it and kind of save... He used his last moments to save Frodo. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just because he was tempted doesn't mean he was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's complex and people kind of discredit him.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Sean Bean just always has to die.
I love Sean Bean.
I do too. He's great. But yeah, Faramir. I need to finally... You know what? That's one of my goals for this year. I want to read those books because I've never gotten around to it. I've read The Hobbit, but not the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I've actually never read The Hobbit.
Ooh, it's so good.
Maybe I'll read The Hobbit and you can read.
Yeah.
I do want to do a reread of the Lord of the Rings trilogy because I haven't read it since I was in like middle school.
Okay, yeah.
In like 20 years.
I've yeah, sometimes I think about how long ago high school and middle school was and then I'm like, nope, we're not thinking about that anymore.
Yeah, I think I'll do, maybe we can do our Lord of the Rings. I'll do my reread when you do your yeah. first read.
Okay.
And maybe we can do that with The Hobbit as well.
We should. The Hobbit is very, very good. It's different. From what I've heard, it's like a very different like prose style compared to Lord of the Rings. It's a little bit like... Because it was kind of aimed at younger people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit easier to get through. But yeah, I love The Hobbit. So good. Anyways, thanks J.R.R. Tolkien for...
giving us some strong men to look up to.
Yeah. Being a just solid guy and writing very good characters.
Yeah.
It's crazy how relevant they still are.
A lot of things are still relevant in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And it's just an overall good story.
Good vibes.
Good vibes.
Yep. So, yeah, those are the two examples I've thought of. I could probably think of more, but I don't have any in my head right now. But that's the gist of it. Stop being an asshole. Like... You're not helping anybody. Not helping yourself. Nobody is impressed. That's another thing. Like, the older I get, like, nobody gives a shit what you do. Stop trying to impress everybody.
I've literally never been impressed by a man who's gotten angry and tried to beat somebody up.
Right. It's not cool.
It's not cool.
The rest of us are just trying to, like, live our lives.
I mean, from a female perspective, it's fucking scary.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe learn how to, like, talk to people without blowing up.
Yeah.
That's a life skill that would benefit you.
Maybe a lot of women wouldn't be so afraid of men.
Maybe if we would quit giving them reasons to be afraid,
they
would stop being afraid. Fucking men. We're a problem.
Yeah. You should work on that. Have you...
Guys, crying feels pretty good. Here's something you may not understand. You are crying. You're too afraid to, Sam, stop.
I'm sorry.
It is a release. It is very
It's very cathartic.
Yes.
Like for me in particular, I'm very pink. Okay, my face is very red very easily.
Okay.
So when I cry it gets all splotchy and I look gross.
That's all right.
And I don't like it.
You don't have to look any particular way.
But my face does get all red and splotchy, and it looks very bad.
It's okay.
It's good look.
Nobody looks good 24/7. That's not a real thing.
I know I don't look good. Do I look good now, Chad?
Yeah, you look fine.
I look terrible. Anyway.
Don't listen to Sam. Crying is good. Sometimes. And also, you can cry for more reasons than just being sad.
I cry because I'm angry and I can't beat people up.
Yeah. Angry crying is a thing. Happy crying is a thing. There's other reasons.
Oh, yeah. Happy crying is a thing.
Just throwing that out there.
Crying is fine. It's normal. Yeah. I do it a lot more now. I don't know why.
That's maybe a good thing.
Probably.
Probably.
I cry too much now.
Well.
It's more than I used to cry, but not like as much as Kaylee cries.
Yeah. And also, like, that's another thing. I'm glad you said that. Like, some people are more emotional than others. That's fine. That's normal. But pretending you have no emotions, that's the problem. You've got emotions.
I know.
Oh, well, sorry, I wasn't directing that at you. I was directing that at the toxic men.
Oh, you have emotions. It's fine to show them.
It's fine.
Yeah, some people are more emotional than other people.
Yeah. That's about all I have to say about that topic. So, we usually do a little witch tip to end our episodes out, but we're trying a new segment out. Our good buddy, good fan of the show from the very beginning, Chris, had an idea of making us a playlist. Having us kind of listen through the songs and, you know, say a few words about them. You know, somewhat of a review or just kind of talking about them. And then he will, he's obviously interested in what we have to say about the songs too. But we're going to call it Listen Bitches. Emily came up with that name, my wife, and I like it. It's good. So today we listened to Down With The Sickness, and yes, it is that song, but it's a cover by Drusev Stalin's Musical Endeavors.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know a lot of these artists on this playlist that he made us, but they are the ones who did that cover. It was pretty good.
It was a good cover.
When he was singing, he actually sounds a lot like the original guy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more modern, obviously, because it's, you know, recording technology has gotten better.
Yeah.
But yeah, his voice was pretty similar. But the big changes I noticed, he screamed for some of the verses, which was kind of cool. Just kind of put it more in, like, the metal genre compared to rock or hard rock that it used to be.
The breakdown was nice.
Yeah.
I could have done without some of the lyrical screaming during the breakdown, but
yeah,
it was still good.
Right. Yeah,
and that's my only like big critique.
Yeah, they did make some of the instruments a little bit heavier. They had a breakdown, like Sam said. It's a pretty cool like guitar riff type of stuff in there, a little bit djenty. If you are familiar, I'm sure Sam probably doesn't know that genre, but it's fine. It's just a metal genre, but yeah,
there's so many subgenres.
There are, yeah, but yeah, the guitars are pretty cool. Added a nice little touch to it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool.
I noticed he didn't really do the, like, ooh-wah-ah.
Yeah, he but tried.
But that's hard.
It is hard. He tried, but it was not the same. But yeah, I don't think. He did actually. That was one of the cool parts. He screamed that, like, towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool. But yeah, in the beginning, he kind of tried, and it wasn't quite as powerful, but
it's hard to. I mean, the lead singer of Disturbed has a very distinctive voice.
Right.
And it's hard to replicate that sound.
Yeah, and that's a weird technique that people don't normally do, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All in all, very solid. Check it out if you like that song. Want to hear a little heavier version of it?
I'll link it, at least the song, like maybe their Spotify profile.
Yeah.
In the description of this video.
Yeah. Or the playlist, either way.
Or the playlist.
There's all sorts of good stuff on there. We'll get into more of it. That's about it.
Come follow us on social media.
We don't really post a whole lot.
As of right now, we're going to be doing monthly uploads.
That's the goal. We would like to do one a month.
We're going to be doing monthly uploads. Eventually, we'll be going to two a month, and then possibly even more than that. It's just with the way our lives, mine particularly, are right now, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
To be able to do more than that right now. So we'll survive. But thanks for listening. Links to our social medias will be in the description. Of links to the articles that we used, as well as link to our playlist.
Bye.
Goodbye.